and we welcome the best in the business to a great weekend of racing, great weekend of sport, full stop, let's be honest. Dean Lester is the world's greatest form analyst, and he's back again on a Friday morning. Good morning, Dino.
Oh, good morning, Daniel.
Do you know where to look this week, Dino? There's action aplenty everywhere you go.
What day is it? I don't know. I'm doing form for tonight, tomorrow. You name it, and then into the footy. So that plenty to watch.
Have you got a line of sight on the grand final just before we get too deep into the racing world?
Oh, not particularly. I just hope they both turn up in the form they were in the first quarter of the preliminary finals. I'm leaning to Melbourne, but I'm not that sold on it, but I'm leaning to Melbourne.
What about Group 1 racing at Sandown? Been a while since that's happened, Dino. Does it change things, the way that Sandown races and the vast expanse of the track? Does it favour some horses that perhaps it wouldn't have at a normal Turnbull Stakes day?
Yeah,
Underwood Stakes day?
I think that it would, and it should be to the benefit of staying horses, and I thought Moore would take up the option, but I think this year with Zaki being there, that they've virtually dodged him, so it's a bit of a shame that they didn't get the bigger field, because, I've been lobbying for a while to get a Group 1 race back at Sandown, because it is a different dynamic, and that long straight really does suit the staying horses maybe looking for further and further on into the spring. But unfortunately, just the four have taken up the option tomorrow.
So we've factored that into our assessments this week?
Oh, absolutely. It's totally different to for all the races, how Caulfield would race as well. But looking forward to it. I think it's the first time since about 1996 they've had a Group 1 race there. So it's terrific.
Yeah, looking forward to it, absolutely. Well, that's Dino Early Doors, the world's greatest form analyst. Now, the man who's made waves across the globe this week with the shaving of the Buffon because Marcus Bontempelli did not win the AFL Brownlow medal. Nick Quinn from the Tab joins us, and by goodness, you're looking sharp this morning. Nicholas, good morning.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm wearing a grey suit today to match the colour that the Buffon's grown back as.
It is a touch salt and pepper. There's a bit of George Clooney about you at the moment.
I'm a buyer.
I'm stunned at how much it's already grown back.
Well, I don't think it was that short to start
with.
It wasn't shaved, was it?
What number?
It was pretty short.
It wasn't that short.
What number?
I think a one or a two.
No, it wasn't.
No.
It was about an eight.
Have a look at the photo with Rosie the other day and how much it's grown back since then.
It's quite extraordinary how much. Do you put dynamic lifter in that?
I think it's a keeper.
Might be the new look.
Yeah,
I'm happy with it.
Upgrade my emoji.
Can you do that on the emoji? Can
not
you?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a good question. Now, what's the feedback from the kids is more my concern.
Yeah, I think initially they got scared and ran into the other room screaming, but once they calmed down and Mum told them it was still me, they're coming to terms with it.
I remember when Jimmy had that big, massive beard, when he shaved it, his son, I think it was Aston at the time, was afraid of him because he didn't know who it was. Because all he even knew was his big, massive, bushy beard that Jimmy had been running for 12 months or so, 18 months or so.
That did get frightening towards the end.
It was a bit aggressive, yeah. It was very aggressive. Now, have you eaten your hair yet?
Yeah, that was a bit more of a challenge than I envisaged. I went with the smoothie option.
Oh, you didn't?
I'm not a smoker, but occasionally you have the odd social cigarette, and then the next day you're just going, and that was happening for 2 to 3 days afterwards.
Herbals.
Yeah. That's okay. We got through.
Did you film it? Otherwise, why would you do it? If you didn't film it, you must have filmed it.
It didn't happen if you didn't film it and put it on social.
Well, that's right.
I did.
It just doesn't exist.
I handed over the footage, so anyone that might not have been happy with the antics can do what they please with it.
Well done for sticking to your bet that you said you would do.
Valuable lesson, Daniel.
Don't do stupid things.
Don't drink and tweet.
It's a valuable lesson for all. Now, what we do on the Friday form, for those playing at home for the first time, welcome, by the way, is we give you a chance to just narrow the fields in your quaddy leagues tomorrow or for the next major metropolitan meeting, which is normally tomorrow, but of course the major one next is tonight at Moonee Valley. But we're doing Sandown tomorrow for Underwood Stakes Day. We'll have a chat about the Moya a little bit later on with Dino as well. So quaddy leagues tomorrow, we'll get a Ramaruffi, bit of value floating around perhaps from Dino, and then the world-famous formula bet where you get to participate if you get selected at the website rsn.net.au, and then Dino, on your behalf, will invest $40 on each of the two horses and little all up as well, which I think is a magnificent opportunity. We're registered at the website rsn.net.au. Now, let's have a look at the first leg of the quaddie, Dino. It is the Big Screen Company Handicap over the 1,800 metres, which is magnificent. They've got 10 going around. And Floating Artist for the Mayor Eustace camp is favourite early doors at tab.com.au, around about $3.80. What say you on this one?
I say the market's pretty right, Daniel. I think he's the one to beat, Floating Artist. He's been terrific. First run, he's got a naught next to his name, but he ran very well at Caulfield, and then he's won two in a row, and that was a pretty comprehensive win last start against similar opposition. So I think... he's very well placed to get the money, Floating Artist. The dangers are probably horses that chased him home last time. Skyman, who I thought had a very good chance on that occasion. I don't think Barrier 1 was absolutely ideal for him. And yet again, he's drawn Barrier 1. So, you know, he's a horse that usually likes to sort of wind up and swoop home. But he's going to be quite close in the run and back to the inside, I think. But he'll run well. Whether he can turn the tables on Floating Artist is another matter. Also, I've got small involvement in Furion. He's running well. He was in the same race as Floating Artist. He needed that run, probably. He was 7 weeks between runs. He'll be fitter. And Dr. Drill, who's been mixing distances, but I think he's probably found about his sweet spot now, and he might be next best. But it does look a good race for Floating Artist, and I think he's the one to beat again.
All right, Floating Artist says the market, and Floating Artist says Dino. Quinny, what else can you tell me?
Tell you what, we might need to get Dino a full-time racing manager at the moment. Every time we do this segment, he seems to have nice city horses running around. But Floating Artist, a 370 market leader. Skyman, a 460 second elect. Dr. Drill's been a firmer, $8 into $4.80. Then we have Don't Doubt Dory, a $5 chance. Only Words, $8. And Furion has been 13 out to 18.
Righto, that is first leg done. Rami, your job around here is to give us the numbers after each of the legs, please. What are the numbers for the first leg tomorrow?
5, 7, 3, and 1.
5, 7, 3, and 1. It's great timing tomorrow in the build-up to the grand final. You have the races tomorrow. It's good afternoon.
Into the storm
and flicking, and then back to the grand final. It's going to be great fun. It's going to be a good day on the couch. Whitey will love it. Sort of your bread and butter for Whitey, this sort of stuff. Race 7 is the second leg of the quaddie. Is it the Quay Clean? Or the Key Clean? How do we say that? Quay Clean. Underwood Stakes. Sorry, apologies for if I don't know, haven't nailed that. It's the 1,800 metre Group 1 affair. Weight for age, 3-year-old and up. $1 million up for grabs, Dino. As you mentioned before, it looks to be a one-horse affair, effectively, in the market. Only 5 going around. And Zaki, he just keeps winning. And his favourite for the Cox Plate, I think, still is... $1.28 in the paper at tab.com.au. What do we do with this?
We take him one out and hope that we get some value in the other legs, which equates to more than $1.28 ultimately, Daniel. So I think, look, he's been the absolute revelation of Australian racing since he's been here. He was probably a touch unlucky in the Doncaster, and since then he's just gone on his winning way. And his first up win was outstanding. I see no reason why he won't win. Probably the vagaries of a small field's the only thing you'd be betting against, but I think all being well, he'll win. And if you're having multiples, Probabil's probably second pick, Superstorm third pick, 50 Stars fourth pick, Chosen One runs fifth. But I think Zaki wins.
So you mentioned a couple of other runners there. Are there any chance outside of the enigma of a small field, is there any chance of these horses beating Zaki on merit?
On merit and talent, no. He's just got to roll along, do his own thing, and he should be winning.
Right, so it's pretty straightforward, Quinny. $1.28 suggests that there's not much fun for the punters here, and in a quaddie situation like we are, as Dino suggests, one out is bordering on the only option.
He has been very popular pre-post, was $3.50 prior to that first up victory in the tramway, and was still $2.50 the week after when there was a bit of conjecture about which way Annabelle would head with the horse, obviously is here and dominates the market at that $1.28. Just out of curiosity, Dino, what price do you have Zaki marked in your 100% market?
I haven't even bothered. Okay. No quote for me.
And just looking forward, is he the clear number one seed for the Cox Plate for you, or do you think it's now a little bit over the top on the back of that very good first up performance?
No, he's the top seed for me. Obviously, you know, you've got great competitors like Very Elegant and others. You know, will Animo take the, up the challenge as a three-year-old and go that way? We'll know more after tomorrow's Golden Rose. But, you know, Zaki's the top seed for me.
Have you been able to work out, you mentioned before, Dan, I'm keen to find out more about your assessment on Zaki, because you mentioned before that it's been the revelation and Australian racing in the last little while. Have you worked out, been able to put your finger on why, on how this has happened with this horse?
I don't have a good enough handle on it, Daniel, but I would think that, I think a lot of the European trainers are locked into, if a horse has got a pedigree to do something, that's all they try and do with them. And and it seems that, Peter Moody's spoken at length about this, that Australian trainers are a bit more inventive and try different things and, you know, a variety of different work. And the other thing is that Annabelle Neesham's a very smart trainer. You wouldn't think that, you know, Sir Michael Stout's a legend of English racing, but, you know, they obviously identified this horse that he'd be a good horse for Australian racing. I don't think they thought he'd be this good, but it's an exciting thing to watch. And what he did first up at 1,400 and what we've seen him do up to 2,200 metres is just has been phenomenal thus far.
Wish I asked that question. That was a cracker. Well done, Daniel.
Thanks. I'll listen to what Dino says. I like to find out more. I like to find out stuff just for me. If it's helpful for anyone else, then that's even better. So there you go. The assessment of race number 7, the Key Clean Underwood Stakes, $1 million up for grabs. Rammer?
2.
I was going to build it up a bit more than that.
2. That's it.
Righto. 2. That's your number for the feature event, the Underwood Stakes tomorrow at Sandown. Let's have a look at race number 8, the Beck Probuild Testarossa Stakes. What a horse Testarossa was over the 1,300 metres. Dino, there are 12 going around. And Shayla, how do we say this name again?
We've just got to go with Shalo, I think I've been told.
So. Righto, Shalo's good enough. Archie Alexander, Declan Bates in the saddle. His favourite, first up tomorrow, Dana, 350, however you say his name, at tab.com.au.
Yeah, well, Shalo is she's a very good mare. She's first up here. She's had 3 trials. I think her trials have been okay. I'd like her to have gone maybe a little bit better, but she might be just a better race day horse. And honestly, I think on talent, if she turns up in her right form, she'll beat these. She's, as I said, probably heading towards a race like the Empire Rose if she's on strong, and she was unlucky in that race last year. So I'm with her to beat 1, Sosie Bon, who's been a much maligned horse over the journey, but he's now won 8 races. He's won nearly $2 million in prize money. He'd do me, and he's really well graded in this sort of race, so I think he has to be regarded. 9, Galaxy Raider, another one that doesn't win out of turn, but I liked his recent trial, and I think first up, the Sandown Hillside track could really suit him. He's one that could be really advantaged by this race being at Hillside. 2, Newhart, who's the one of the main Tasmanian contingent over here this spring. He's had 15 starts and won 8 races. He's the Cups King over there, but he does sprint well fresh. And 8, Hightail, who I think it's going fairly, but from barrier 1, we'll get a great run, and he's got the in-form Brett Preble to ride. But I think it's all a matter about Shalo. If she's in her right form, she'll be very hard to beat.
All right, that's Dino's assessment. Race 8, the Testarossa Stakes. Shalo at 350, listening to Dino, sounds juicy in the paper, Quinny. Has there been any movement on that?
It has firmed, unfortunately, since the paper was printed. 350 into $3 and was $3.70 early doors. Ironclad now a $5 second elect, as is King of Hastings. Hightail at 9. And Sosibon, $10 the win, $2.80 the place. No Ironclad, Dino, the second elect, who was maybe a little underwhelming first up.
Yeah, he had a bad day, really. He just thinks he was wide and then pulled up lame. It was a total forgive run, and he did get his act together very quickly last preparation. But it was his best wins were at 1,600 metres, so I just wonder if this is a run to get him back on track and see where he's at. But he is a good talent, Ironclad, so I am a bit wary of him and even King of Hastings to a lesser extent. They're the two in the betting I've left out, but now we're trying to get a little bit of value around this Zaki quaddie.
If you had to spend $10 on the race here, would it be Shalo the win or Sosibon the place at around the same quote?
I think Sosibon the place. I think Shalo is a very good horse. She's going to get back from an inside draw. But no, I think Sosibon will probably nearly run the place. So.
Righto. Mm. There you go. I like those little $10 questions. And how would you?
I was due.
4x6 or 6x4 or whatever.
Love in the room this morning.
There is a bit of love in there. What's the new hair? Like it's yeah. It's quite. He's quite appealing, Dino.
He's younger.
He's quite handsome almost.
We're sharing almost. IDs.
And the salt and pepper just makes me feel a bit better about myself. Yeah. I must admit, it makes me feel a little bit better. Now, Rama, you've got one job, please. You got it easy last time. What number was the last one, just by the way?
Two.
Two, just checking. What have you got for us for race number 8, the third leg of the quaddie, please?
6, 1, 9, 2, and 8.
6, 1, 9, 2, and 8. All right, so we will get to a break. We'll stop it there. We've got three legs down. We know we've got the first three winners. That's easy. The last one, often the trouble. In the world of quaddie getting. Just always seems to be the way. We're alive and then we just get pipped at the post in the last leg. Not tomorrow. Don't you worry about that because Dino's found us the winner and you can find out who that is after the break. We'll also get you the formula bet information for today and the Rama Ruffy as well. We'll touch on the Moya Stakes tonight at Moonee Valley. See what Dino's got for us there on a big weekend of Group 1 racing in Victoria. Of course, there's Group 1 racing up in New South Wales as well, isn't there, Quinny?
Yes, Golden Rose.
Golden Rose. The Stallion Maker. Did you know that the last nine have been colts and the Stallion Makers up there in the Golden Rose?
You're on fire today.
I've got some tidbits. I've got some bits of tid and we'll talk about them and more after this. Now we know this theme song, don't we?
Did someone say KFC?
Absolutely, they said KFC. Absolutely, they said KFC.
Gee, you popped up quick.
Yes. He's got a bacon and cheese fillet burger combo, please.
He's
with three fillets as entree.
Oh. Oh my God, the fact you know that is an order.
No, they know it as his order.
And if the kids don't eat the popcorn chicken, over to me, please.
Coming straight to the front of the hat car.
I've never heard you light up like that.
I just burst him.
Well, he was in the kitchen, Dino, and he heard it, and it was high-stepping. It was quite remarkable. Now, the reason I'm playing this...
Cozzy Pickett off the mark.
The reason I'm playing this, it's not a birthday as such. It's an anniversary. So, but it gives you a chance, Rama. Kentucky Fried Chicken opened their first franchise.
Oh, this isn't fair.
It's, well, it's all we've got, Dino,
it's
today.
It's a calorie deficient day, Daniel.
It's all we've got today. It's a shocking day for birthdays. We need some more breeding at New Year's. Need some more New Year's activities.
Like when the Colonel's birthday was, Secret Herbs and Spices.
No, well, I would have if it was on. But this was really the only other thing we could do. So Kentucky Fried Chicken opened their first franchise in Salt Lake City in Utah. How many years ago today, Dino? It's a random
really,
one.
Really? Whitey should go first.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point.
No, I'll go last because I know the answer.
No, I throw it to you, Dino. You're the master of ceremonies around here.
Okay.
How many years ago?
80 years ago.
80 years ago for Dino. Rama, how many years did the Colonel open up in Utah?
75 years ago.
75 for Rama. Quinny?
So Dino's 80, that'd be in the war. So I'm going to put a pen through that one.
No, yeah, I actually got my maths wrong. I meant 90, but anyway.
That's all right. Well, where am I at?
Oh, do I ride his coattails then and take the 90 he was going to do?
Messing with it.
Well, stick to my guns, which was going to be 70, just after the war, a couple of years after.
70?
Yep.
All right, 70 for Quinny. Whitey?
Look, it was March 20 back in 1930. We have a public holiday in our house for that particular day. So it's etched in stone.
Rama's face.
So it's 91 years ago today. Oh, not today, it's back in March, but yeah, 91 years.
Well, how can it be the anniversary today then?
It's a not great today. Question, Rama. That's where there's a hole in this story.
Oh, I'm backing my information over yours.
No, it's now the question was, the Kentucky Fried Chicken opened their first franchise in Salt Lake City in Utah today. How many years ago?
Well, they offered it. Well,
no, see, that was the question. Well, no, there's ambiguous. No grey area. That was the question. You've gone for March 20, 1930, considering it was 24th of September. We're talking about
anniversary. Well, that's when they opened a cafe,
a franchise, which was, of course, the question. I could tell you that KFC opened their first franchise on this day 69 years ago, which means Quinny on 70 is the winner. Well done, Nicholas. Thank new haircut, you. New life, new success.
Well, I'm going to lodge a protest because I don't believe that.
Whitey looks distraught. I've beaten him in this one.
The Colonel, he opened a cafe in 1930.
Yeah, he didn't sell a franchise. It took him 22 years to get the spices right.
That's right. The Secret Herbs and Spices.
That's right.
Well, that's fair enough.
What are there? How many Secret Herbs and Spices are there, Whitey?
Enough.
Is it 11?
11.
11.
I would have thought it was straight off the top.
I would have thought you were
main one being salt.
And oil.
Just bucket loads of it. And the chicken salt and the chips are still really delicious. Good. Really good. So there you go. A bit of KFC trivia for you today.
What are your favourite chips? I do like the Red Rooster.
Red Rooster. Yeah. Straight to Red Rooster for me, yeah.
Snitz.
They kept telling me about this snitz stuff.
Yeah, they're overrated. You can get them from the freezer at Coles. Put them in the air fryer. Same thing.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Righto. Well, it's probably
I'll
more.
I'll do that. That's fine. Thanks.
Don't get upset because you lost one.
He was Googling too. I saw his phone. He was getting involved in some shenanigans.
He messaged to say, get on with the horses.
No one's saying that. No one's saying that because they love this sort of stuff. They love it. But we can get on with the last leg of the quaddie. That's what we can do because we're looking at that tomorrow at Sandown. Group one action. We've done the Underwood. That's the easy one. That number again, Rummer?
A two.
Race 9 is the Evergreen Turf. Benchmark 84, a fair over 1,800 metres, like the Underwood. And it's got a full field going around Dino. A couple of scratchings early doors, 1 and 14, you can rule a line through. Adelaide Ace and Kingshire. They are out, so Lofty Star and War Critic get a start at this stage, which is good business. But it's a big field, and the favourite is $5 at the moment for the Cummings Yard, D. Oliver in the saddle. Flexible, second up tomorrow, Dino.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable price for her, Daniel. She's a good mare. She progressed from a 3-year-old filly to 4-year-old mare with a win first up. And at Sandown, the extra distance suits. The form around her last preparation was terrific. So I think she's well placed to win again, to beat 3 Aussie Nugget, who's absolutely ready to win. He just goes up a lot in weight for that last run, but his third up form is good. I think he'll race well. Certainly conceding chances to 15 Hasseltoff, who's got a big weight drop on his last run and can be competitive again. 13 Be Tempted was a long odds winner here second up, but that wasn't a real shock because she's just likes Sandown Hillside and likes being down in the weights, and she's got that scenario again tomorrow. And 16 Horrifying was good first up. It was very plain second up, but the best of his form puts him right in a race like this. But happy to think that the 4-year-old mare Inflexible will be very hard to beat again.
All right, Flexible, says Dino, $5 favourite. But there's going to be some value somewhere, Dino and Quinny. If Flexible stays at $5, that's a pretty good outcome for us.
Yeah, it's an open race. The top two in the market have firm. Flexible's been $6 into $5. Aussie Nugget's been popular, $9 initially into $5.50. Then we have Thought of That $5.50. Hasseltoff at $6. Be Tempted $13. And Horrifying a $14 chance. Dino, of those prominent in the market, we've left out the third elect, number 8, Thought of That. A last start winner. What's the little niggle tomorrow?
Thought he got his own way in front last start, and that's when we've seen him at his best. I just don't know if he's going to get that luxury tomorrow. There looks a little bit of pressure, so that makes him, I think, a bit vulnerable, but at least he found winning form last start.
All right, so that's the assessment of the last race tomorrow at Sandown for a great day of racing, no doubt, on the hillside track. But that's the last look at the quaddie, Rama. And what are those numbers again, please?
11. 3, 15, 13, 16.
11, 3, 15, 13, and 16. Now, you're not going to believe this. There's been some people out there that haven't been able to listen all the way through, which is a big surprise.
On grand final eve.
There's nothing else to do. It's a public holiday. Which is why there's not as many SMSs, I'm sure, because they've had some time. Harv, can you get Rama to read the quaddie numbers again as I was delivering a parcel to Warrandyte? I had to wait as no one answered the door. That's Tom from Australia Post. So maybe that's Whitey's birthday present that perhaps they're talking about there.
It's package for Campbell and James, I think.
Lads, can I please have Dino's numbers again? I'm chasing a cheerful moment after Wednesday. Devo'd, it got rolled. What does that mean, Quinny? Why are you laughing?
Dino's horse that was 30-1 and beaten at a photo finish at Flemington on Wednesday, but looks very, very prime for the Derby.
Ooh. Right. Oh, who was that? Which one?
Just cheerful moment.
Cheerful moment.
Oh, cheerful moment. Right, okay.
So a very witty text there.
Right, that was Gav the Greenskeeper. He's hot to trot. I missed the numbers. I was looking up Carlton's premiership odds next season on the back of Vossi's appointment. So that's Carlton fans listening out there getting involved. We're going to speak to Vossie shortly, so stay with us on that. Half was trying to stop the spread of KFC-related misinformation whilst waiting for Austin, my fry cook at KFC Bendigo, to cook my breakfast and missed the quality numbers. Can you please ask Rama to read them out again? The Colonel's been busy today. They've been very busy. And I missed the numbers. I was in town looking for the parade here in Melbourne town, the grand final parade. So people out there have had a tough morning, Rama. Can you please go through the quality numbers again at Sandown?
Race 6, 5, 7, 3 and 1. Race 7, 2.
2.
Just 2. Race 8, 6, 1, 9, 2 and 8. And then race 9, 11, 3, 15, 13 and 16.
All right. They are your numbers for the quaddy tomorrow at Sandown. Well, let's get to the formula bet, if you wouldn't mind, Dino. Who are we playing for today and what have you got for us?
We're playing for Wayne Allen of Wangaratta. And for Wayne, we're having $40 to win, race 4, number 2, Zuzarella. $40 to win, race 6, number 5, Floating Artist. And $40 on the all-up of the pair, race 4, number 2, into race 6, number 5. And that's for Wayne Allen of Wangaratta.
Righto, Wayne-o. What's coming your way from an odds perspective, Nicholas?
Zuzarella into 215, Floating Artist 370. The all-up comes to 795.
795. If I just plug this in, Dino, 7.95 times 1.02 for the multiplier, it's $8.11. is what you'll get for the multiplier if you do that at tab.com.au. So 4-2 into 6-5 for Wayno, and for anyone else playing at home that wants to get involved in that shenanigans as well. And you can register the website to be a part of it every week on the Friday form with Dino, rsn.net.au. All right, the Rama Ruffy, let's get to that.
Ready to sting the bookies? This is Rama's Ruffy for the all-new Kia Stinger. Fine-tuned for Australian conditions. Book a thrill ride and experience the new Kia Stinger today.
Now, I think we're hitting a first.
Oh, this is special.
In the Rama Ruffy today. This is a first, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell us more?
It might be an annual event, Daniel, but certainly in the past year we've gone interstate, of course Port Louis at Randwick one day, but we're going to a Friday night meeting and let's try and get some money for the weekend. Race 5 tonight at Moonee Valley, race 5 number 7 Destination D Oliver in the saddle, racing well, form around him's terrific. I was hoping Esther LaRocca would be in the race. It's been scratched just in the last few minutes. I was hoping for a bit more pace in the race, but happy to take the odds on offer and think Destination will run really well.
All right, so race 5, number 7, Destination tonight at Moonee Valley. So we're going to build a bank, hopefully, Quinny, for tomorrow's racing. What have you got for us?
$7 the win, $2.50 the place.
$7 and $2.50 is a nice way to play it.
First look at the quaddy too, how good.
Oh, we can narrow the field in the quaddy. Good luck. 7.250 for race 5, number 7, Destination for the Rama Ruffy today. All right, Dino, while we're there, if you don't mind, can we have a bit of a chat about the Moya tonight, the Group 1 feature at the Valley, where we've got some very, very impressive horse flesh in action over the 1,000 metres, and not many runs in and first up for a lot of these horses over the sprint distance. What do you see happening in the Charter Keck Kramer Moya Stakes tonight?
Yeah, I see. Obviously, it's always a high-pressure race, but it's often one from the front, as we saw last year with Pippi leading all the way. And I think the interesting thing is that with the rail being out 4 metres, I don't think it'll be any disadvantage to be running along on the pace. And that's where I see the three-year-old Profiteer for Mick Price and Junior. And I think he'll probably lead, take a lot of running down. There'll be good closers like the Inferno, who I think, if he runs well tonight, should be snapped up as an Everest slot holder. He's going really well. Trekking ran a placing in this race last year. Brooklyn Hustle swats that. They'll all be charging late, but I'm thinking Profiteer will have pinched a big enough break to get the prize.
Profiteer, we spoke to Michael Kent Jr. this morning. He was pretty bullish about Profiteer's opportunity. Quinny, what's the market saying?
Profiteer, a $3.90 favourite. The best backed runner is the second elect, the Inferno, was $8 on Tuesday, now all the way down to $4.50. World Ruler, 7. September Run, 8. Ballistic Lover at 10. Portland Sky, 11. And Trekking, a $12 chance. The chances certainly don't end there. They were a terrific race tonight. And Dean, I'll just throw one more at you. Listening to Correct Weight a few weeks ago, you were very impressed with Animo in the Run to the Rose. Do you anticipate that horse will take out tomorrow's Group 1 Golden Rose at Rose Hill?
Oh, I think so. I think he should have that field covered. That was as soft a win as you'd ever see, really. I mean, the margin wasn't great, but James McDonald only did what he had to win. And I think with that run under his belt, because he had missed a trial, he'll be fitter, and all being well, he'll win the Golden Rose, and then we hopefully see him in Melbourne, maybe for the Caulfield Guineas and the Cox Plate. But then again, he might freshen up and go to a race like the Everest. So he's a fascinating runner tomorrow.
All right, that's a bit of feedback for what's happening in Sydney as well, the Group 1 Golden Rose tomorrow. Now, we were alerted to some information before from one of our SMSs speaking about the Price Ken Jr. Yard. When we spoke to Michael Jr. before, he referenced Camborne at Benalla today. If you've got a start, then we'd be good to go. Race 9, number 17. Now, Camborne has got a start. Thank you to that SMS that came through. Right, we got a market there, Quinny, for me for race 9, number 17 for Camborne, because he almost had to stop himself from pumping it up when he was talking to us on the Early Mail, a junior before.
$2.80.
Thank you, Dino. You're much sharper there than I am.
$2.80 for race 9, number 17 today at Benalla on Cup Day at Benalla. I hope it's a great day for the club there today. So that's what we can do. We're going to have that, race 9, number 17. We'll put that in, and then we'll get Dino's Ruffy, race 5, number 7 tonight at Mooney Valley, and we'll have a bucket load for tomorrow at Sandown.
$2.90 into $2.70, Campbell, in the last 20 minutes, so that might continue to trim up.
All right.
It will.
It will. Dino's pretty confident on that. That's always a good sign. Dino, what's happening with Hamish a little bit later on this morning on RSN Central?
Oh, there's only one thing to talk about, Daniel, great
jelly
grand
wrestling?
Finals. Oh. Yeah, jelly. Well, no, that's next week. But no, our favourite grand final moments and a special ode to Dennis Cometti, who calls his last game tomorrow on radio. And, of course, it's very fitting that, one, the Bulldogs are in it, and, two, that it's in Perth. So we're going to have some of our favourite Dennis Cometti moments.
All right, that's going to be good fun later on this morning with Hamish and Gareth on RSN Central. Thank you, Dino. Have a great weekend. It's going to be plenty of sport to get your teeth into. We'll chat to you next week.
Thank you, Daniel.
Dean Lester is the world's greatest form analyst. You can hear him across the weekend on RSN 927. Quinny, what have you got for us?
Well, Max Gawn's looking to become the first person to complete the winning horse at Coleraine into premiership captain 24-hour space. So hopefully that can be the case there with Arms Giver, our horse that resumes today, race 8, number 8 at Coleraine. But Matty Williams has just put the slows on it a little bit today. He said, watch today, very worried about Terrace House, who's the favourite. So take with that information as you please, but cheer hard for Arms Giver.
And Terrace House is another Price Ken Jr. one. Michael was giving us a pump up.
Yes,
for that too.
Yes. And the horse has been with Matty Williams down at Warrnambool as well. So we'll see how we go there. But Zuzarella, my best tomorrow. Race 4, number 2 at Sandown. Have a great weekend, everyone. So much happening. Very exciting.
My word there is, and we'll talk to you more about that a little bit later on.
Thank you, Daniel.
Nick
Thank
Quinn
you
from the Tab. Dean Lester, the world's greatest form analyst, a part of the Friday form and a busy Friday morning on The Breakfast Club. We'll come back after this. Brent Harvey's not too far away.